My name is Bonnie Landry. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast with my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, where we explore the questions about homeschooling and family life and how we can make joy normal.
Good evening, Elizabeth.
Hello.
How was your week?
Good. Can't complain.
Well, that's something, because there's a lot of people complaining out there in the world.
That's very true.
Are you guys are in lockdown again and that sort of thing? Like, what's happening? Are you?
No, things seem pretty
okay.
Back to normal. We are in a smaller city though, so yeah. Other cities may feel differently.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We're sort of thing. I don't know. Is it normal? Will that world ever be normal again? I'm not really sure.
I have my doubts, but I'm trying to be optimistic.
Good. Yeah, me too. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I do have moments where I think, you know, really?
Yeah.
But that's okay. In general, you know, I'll just do me and not worry about what the rest of the world's doing.
I know. That's what we have to do. Just pray exactly. And keep on keeping on.
Yeah. So last week we talked about phonics. That sort of came into our discussion.
Yeah.
And we thought we would talk this week about phonics because dictation is just such an amazing tool for learning and teaching phonics. I'm assuming you have some sort of questions about that. What I thought I'd do actually is start with just a kind of a definition of phonics, mm-hmm. because I just think it's really helpful because we don't always sort of know what that is. So as an educator, you have probably already heard of phonics, but chances are that no one has ever sat down with you to explain exactly what phonics instructions is. That's where we come in. With the help of phonics expert Wiley Blevins, we have compiled the basic information that you need to know before teaching phonics. So this is actually just the Scholastic website. Okay, I looked at a few different basic definitions, and I thought this one was really good. So then it goes on, what is phonics? Phonics involves the relationship between sounds and their spellings. The goal of phonics instruction is to teach students the most common sound-spelling relationships so that they can decode or sound out words. This decoding ability is a crucial element in reading success. So I'm just going to read this next section here. Why is phonics instruction important? Most poor readers tend to rely heavily on one reading strategy, such as the use of context or picture clues, that they exclude other strategies that might be more appropriate. To become skilled, fluent readers, children need to have a repertoire of strategies to draw on. These strategies include using a knowledge of sound-spelling relationships, in other words, an understanding of phonics. In addition, research has shown that skilled readers attend to almost every word in a sentence and process the letters that compose each of these words. Therefore, phonics instruction plays a key role in helping students comprehend text. It helps the student map sounds onto spellings, thus enabling them to decode words. Decoding words aids in the development of word recognition, which in turn increases reading fluency. Reading fluency improves reading comprehension because as students are no longer struggling with decoding words, they can concentrate on making meaning from the text. In addition, phonics instruction improves spelling ability because it emphasizes spelling patterns that have become familiar from reading. Studies show that half of all English words can be spelled with phonics rules that relate one letter to one sound. So I think that it's just important to sort of know what we're talking about right out of the starting gate, right? And when you're doing dictation with your small children, if they're pre-readers, what you're doing is actually teaching them phonics. I mean, you will to some degree be teaching them sight words and various other things, but you're teaching them phonics by virtue of looking at the words and comparing it to similar words. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll just start there. So you can launch into questions and I'll sort of describe how that magic happens.
Okay, it's so funny though, because you already kind of answered two of the questions. Okay. So there's one I'd like to expand upon. So you answered what is phonics, but to further push that question, how is it different from simply learning grammar or just a typical reading lesson? Or is it just kind of really all the same?
Well, grammar is not about the sounds and the decoding of the actual words. Grammar is about how the words go together in an appropriate way in English, and how punctuation works, how capitalization works. All of those are sort of parts of grammar. So how to use the language effectively. And in a sense, although we are always sort of teaching grammar, even to a pre-reader, to some degree we're teaching grammar, but in a sense, looking at grammar is going to be way more effective when a child already has reading fluency. So phonics is going to be something that once they're reading mm-hmm. fluently, they've done it, they've decoded, they figured it out, right? Ruth Beechick would say that a child, like you, you teach them different things. You teach them to some degree sight words. You teach them a lot of phonics. You teach them how to decode. And there's sort of systems in place for doing that. But ultimately, they also develop their own system sometimes for remembering how a word is spelled, or say remembering the O-U-G-H words and how they sound differently. Because we get down to these really fine details where there's not very many rules that these words follow, right? Like, I'm just going to use the O-U-G-H words for a moment to describe that. There's so many ways that O-U-G-H can sound, right? You know, through, enough, bow, ought. You know, there's so many ways that can sound. And ultimately, we can explain that to children, and that is part of teaching phonics. Is okay, we have this combination of letters here, and sometimes it sounds like this, and sometimes it sounds like this, and sometimes it sounds like this, and eventually they just sort it out. So we help them along in the decoding. We kind of, in a sense, teach their brain how to decode through phonics, and then they kind of grab it and run with it. You know, if a child, say, for example, had never come across the word enough, but they knew the word bow, they might read it enow. It might be how it comes across to them until they realize, oh, in context, they see in the sentence, oh, I see, I've had enow. That doesn't make sense, but I've had enough, right? Oh, okay, suddenly that makes sense. We show them the patterns and combinations that sounds and letters can make. Here's another really, really simple example. Say, for example, we're just really beginner reader.
Right.
We're teaching them their sounds. So say you take a word like tap, right? T-A-P, and you show them that the ending is app. And look, we can take the front letter off. And this says app together, app, right? But we can put new letters in front. We can put S, sap, C, cap, D, dap. Was not a real word, but you know, we can take different letters and put them in front so they can get the idea that they're just changing that letter. And we can also do the same thing with the beginning sound. Look, this says t-a, and the last sound is p-tap, right? Tap. But we can put different things on the end. Tam, you know?
Right.
Tack, if we put a CK on the end. You know, different things. And so we're showing them the flow of the sound rather than t-a-p, right?
Right. So then how do you learn the phonetic rules formally? Because with dictation, you're learning almost like bits and pieces as you go along. And so the difference is with learning the phonetic rules to start with and just applying them, you're learning it bit by bit. Was I clear in your question?
Yes. Although it would be like there wouldn't be, well, I mean, for some people, there might be. People could develop, for example, say a phonics program could develop a format in which you teach phonics, okay? But there's not hard and fast rules about how that actually plays out. So each, say, curriculum provider that teaches phonics might develop their patterns that they think are the most important to learn. Mm-hmm. However, ultimately, there's not a proper way that you have to learn these things. Language is one of those things that there's not so much a proper way. Now, generally, we teach, you know, short vowel sounds before we teach long vowel sounds. We teach single letters before we teach blends, like we teach T before we teach TH, right? There's some general rules, but we do this in a very natural way in dictation. So say, for example, if you're doing a dictation lesson and you have a sentence that is, Bob took the dog for a walk. Okay, Bob took the dog for a walk. So you're probably going to not bring walk into it yet because there's silent L. and a K, unless the child actually asks. But a pre-reader is generally, you know, focusing on what they know, not what they don't know. So if you say, okay, so this word Bob, it starts and ends with the same letter, ob, b, ob, you're showing them that short vowel sound and how it goes with the OB. And you might pull that out as a lesson, right? That an active lesson. Okay, is there other letters I might be able to put on front in front of that ob sound? So on your side of the page, you could write OB 3 or 4 times, and you could put knob, mm-hmm, or cob or sob. See, they all have the same, have a different first letter sound, the same ending sound. So Bob takes a dog for a walk. So then maybe you're going to not worry about you doing take once they're pretty secure in their short vowel sounds. So you might pick out Bob and dog as the two words kind of for an active lesson that you might show them how these sounds go together, right? Later on, if they're a little older, then you might look at take. Okay, so usually, not always, but usually when we put an E on the end of the word, the letter makes its own name. The vowel says its own name. So instead of tack, it's take, because we put an E on the end. We don't say the E, right? So you can pull that out as an active lesson. And you're going to know if your child's not ready to take that in yet, because they're going to glaze over. Or mm-hmm, they'll say, what? So then you know, okay, well, we're not quite ready for long vowel sounds. You know, we're just going to keep working on the short vowel sounds. There's not an actual laid down universal rule of how we're going to, you know, like, these are the rules of phonics in the same way that these are the rules of grammar. And even grammar, there's a lot of scope in grammar for word placement, types of punctuation used, and punctuation placement. So even grammar, it has some hard and fast rules, but it's not solely hard and fast rules. It's a language. So it's, you know, it changes. It's fluid. It's intuitive in many ways, right?
Because any specific phonics curriculum I've looked at over the years seems so convoluted, and just, I have trouble wrapping my brain around it. And I think in part it's because, okay, I know all of these rules. And so the one that I was looking at for this year to help with phonics was the Writing Road to Reading. That one is a struggle because it's, okay, if your child is at this point, then do this, these options, or do, so there's like 3 choices for what route to take. None of them really are perfect, right? Because my son is in between any of these, right, with things. And so it's like trying to put a puzzle together with half the pieces are blank.
Well, and again, like grammar, when you take grammar out of context, you know, it makes it very difficult to learn, right? I mean, all my grammar in school was basically taught out of context. Like, here's a thing, we're going to show you how to use that thing, and then you put it in a sentence. Well, aren't we much better off to just use it in a sentence and talk about the use and why it matters and is significant in this particular sentence? So it's the same with phonics. So when you're learning it in context, meaning that the word is in a sentence, you have other things you can compare it to. You can talk about the sentence as a whole, get them to identify, okay, not just working on, okay, we're going to do all the short vowels now, right? Put it in context, put it in a sentence, put it in a story, put it in a poem. It's where the words have meaning. Yes, absolutely. You could learn phonics that way, but I just can't imagine how boring and sterile that would be. Like, why would we not learn it in context of beautiful things, beautiful written word? That's how you should be learning any parts of language. And so to take it out of the language that it is in doesn't make any sense to me. So I think that, you know, for your son, and you said, you know, mm-hmm, he enjoys doing dictation, it just might be that it just makes more sense to him to talk about what the letters mean, what the sounds mean, what the, you know, the punctuation means, what it all means in the context of something you're actually reading.
Okay, so what would that look like in older kids? You know, so you said in early, really small kids, but what if there are students that maybe have a gap in their phonics education, so they're older doing dictation? How, and I can't think of a sentence.
Sure. Are they a fluent reader?
Fairly fluent, yeah.
if they are a pretty fluent reader, they've already done the decoding. They've already done the phonics, right? So where you might want to sort of just fine tune that for a kid that stumbles on the odd word, and maybe they're words that you feel like, okay, I mean, yeah, do we expect our, you know, 9-year-olds to be able to spell, you know, psychiatric or something? You know what I mean? There's words we would not expect them to be able to spell or even sound out. With more experience, of course, they can come across those words. But if there's words they're stumbling over, you could really pick those words out and talk to them in a really active way, talk about them in a really active way. So do you have a word that might be fairly common that you feel like he should know that he would stumble across on a regular basis? Does anything pop into your mind?
Well, one of my boys typically leaves out vowels, which is very strange to me because I've always said every word needs a vowel. There are very few words that are words without vowels.
Yeah, in our language, you know, for sure. So if he's so this is the same, we're talking about the same son. He's fluent, relatively fluent. Okay, so how would that look? Say you're reading.
Yeah.
How would he leave out a vowel in a word?
So let's see. I should have been prepared.
No, that's okay.
Do I have any words that can help jog my memory? Okay, so let's say that there's the word before, which might not be the best example because there's that trick E at the end. If he was to sound it out phonetically and spell it, he would probably do B-E-F-R.
Right.
Right, so he completely misses a sound that you can clearly hear, that O, that OR, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing. First of all, vowels are tricky, right? Because, number one, they're a kind of an open mouth sound, right?
Yeah.
And they're connected to consonants. So we hear them, but they're part of the consonant. They're maybe part of the FO or they're part of the ending OR, you know. Mm-hmm. Or, right? So they're part of the consonant. Probably breaking that down for him would be really, really good, is there's a sound here. Before he writes it down, say the word really carefully. If you think it's a word he's going to commonly misspell, or if he's missing vowels, you could say, okay, I want you to listen really carefully to this word. I'm going to pronounce the vowel. I'm going to overpronounce the vowel so that you can hear it. Okay, so before, right? So there's something attached to the R, and it's a vowel, and can you guess what the vowel is? So before he's writing it down, you know, can you guess what the vowel is? Now, it's tricky because, especially with R, we make the sound R with O-R, E-R, I-R, and U-R. R, motor, feather, fur, wonder, what's a U-R word, slur, right? It's all the same sound. So we can't really expect them to hear the difference if they're learning between the UR and the ER. So it's important to pull that out. If you say the word before, you say, okay, so what do you think that is? Use it as point of discussion. So before, right? Really pronounce the O, make him hear it. And if he says I, you know, if he's not sure, if he's hesitant, say, okay, let's break it down. So B, you know, that's a B, B-E, you can hear the E sound. Or help him to break down the sounds and then use that, like pull it out, write down before or the ending part of before, F-O-R-E, right? Okay, for. So here's some other words that have that or sound in them. Sometimes, and explain to him, sometimes it's hard to identify the vowel, especially in front of an R, right? Sometimes in front of an S, as well as other letters that we have that with. If it's O-R, then write down a couple of other things like or, shore, for. You know, write down a few other words so it helps him. So a couple things are happening. One is you're really identifying the O for him so that he can do that. You're pulling it out. You're making an active lesson around it, but you're also giving him some pattern to see, okay, or, shore, for, store, more, so that he can see O-R-E is a pattern in other words. Now, once he's got that down, right, when he's understanding that more, you might come across an O-A-R word. So you could even do that and show him, okay, here's O-R-E and the sound that it makes. There's another group of letters that makes O-R-E, the or sound, O-A-R. Let's look at some of those. And we just have to remember, these are words that some of them we just have to remember. And so the more you talk about it, and you could say, okay, look at this, soar and soar, S-O-A-R, a bird soars with his, you know, with his wings wide open, a soar. You have a sore on your arm. Right. How did we remember that? And sometimes you can think of something funny, and sometimes, you know, you can just through repetition, you can help him sort out sore and sore. And so we can't expect him to know that. If you have a sentence that you're giving him in dictation and sore is one of the words, you could say, okay, this is the sore, like you have a pain on you. Do you remember which ending that is? This is tricky, right? This is tricky because there's sore and there's sore. Write them both down. Sore, my wings, you know, are wide open. Sore, I have a sore in my elbow. And sometimes find, like, with my kids, I would make up funny little things that would help them. So say, for example, the word soar, S-O-A-R, I might say, okay, well, think about oars. You know, you just put the S on the end and oars stick out from a boat, O-A-R-S. That's how you spell oars. And a bird soars and their wings stick out like the oars of a boat, right? So maybe that's a way you can remember this. Or draw a silly picture. Write out the word sore and turn the O into a gash with stitches across it, right? Just funny things to help them remember so that they'll sort out that, okay, if I see an O-A-R or I see an O-R-E, it makes the OR sound, but which one is it? Then I have to that's a memory thing that I have. I would really draw out those vowels and help him to see that. So before he writes it down, you know, unless he's okay with you erasing it and saying, actually, there's a letter here, but tell him before you start, before, between the F and the R, there's a vowel. See if you can hear it as I'm saying the word, right? Before. Now you say it, before, right? Before, before, before. Make a game out of it so that he really starts to see that pattern of the vowel in between the two consonants.
So then I'm not sure if this is more just grammar or general spelling, I mean phonics or general spelling rules, but we have lots of words in the English language where they're the double consonants, right? So like still or will, you know? So how do you teach those? Is it more just a memorization thing? Is there really a specific phonics rule that you would teach?
Well, there's a spelling rule, phonics rule. It would sort of fall into both categories. So when we have a double vowel, when we have a double consonant, the vowel in front is usually short. We can just remember that. So it's both a spelling rule and a phonics tool. You can show them, okay, so when we have the word happy, usually that would be the double P would mean that we say the A, but A. So sometimes you can also use non-words to explore this. For example, you made up a word, you're trying to explain this. So you have a word R-O-P-Y and R-O-P-P-Y, okay? Maybe you've discussed this a few times, and as he's reading, he's starting to identify that it's a short vowel sound with two consonants, and it's a long vowel sound with one. There are words that don't follow the rules, right? So that's something I would always say, oh my gosh, look, this is one of those words that doesn't follow the rules, right? Darn it all. One we're just going to have to remember. Say we took that word, R-O-P-Y and R-O-P-P-Y, and we could say, do you know how you would say this word? How, this isn't a real word, but how would you say this, right? And he might say ropey or might say ropey or whatever. But you can say, yeah, because there's only one P, usually we would just pronounce that ropey. Most of the time we would pronounce that ropey. Yeah. But if we had the two P's over here, ropey, we would say ropey. So you kind of use a non-word to illustrate the difference. Right.
So then for parents like myself who phonics rules aren't really strengths. Do you recommend using anything alongside the teaching through dictation that can help? You know, I know we've talked about some Usborne books that help with like grammar rules. Is there anything that you would use to help with phonics to help jog us parents' memories?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would see, you probably don't remember learning phonics rules because eventually you just learn to decode yourself. So it's not like it's so much laid out, like this is the rule for this. It's just presented to you, and different teachers, different books are going to present it in different ways. As you're doing dictation, you can read the passage. So really, your ability to read is your best friend in this situation, so that you can just look at this and say, okay, mm-hmm. how can I just explain the patterns of language that are here in front of me? And I think that if we kind of get away from rules in this particular situation, like when they're learning the patterns of sounds, if we can move away from the rules, I think it will make this easier for you, or get away from the idea that, okay, I might be doing this wrong, right? Because there are many roads to phonics, in a sense, right? So
right.
So what you're teaching them is just the patterns of language and groups of letters or single letters together. So I think that maybe, I wonder if you've been a bit bogged down by the way phonics, you've sort of come across phonics programs, and they're presenting it in kind of a list format. This is what we do, this is what we do. But every brain is going to absorb information differently. Like maybe the two vowel thing, for example, they just think, oh, okay, I get that. And another kid, it might take them a long time to get that. It might take them a year to sort of like, oh, right, okay. But ultimately, all we're doing is acting as a guide for the decoding. A sort of description over here was that I read at the very beginning of this was that the more tools
right.
kids can have helps them with the decoding as they get old. So as they get older, you're not going to address right. things like harder spelling or harder reading mm-hmm. words. You're not going to address those until they've already got some fluency with easier words. I'll just give you an example of this. Some kids totally get the short vowel, long vowel thing at the same time. It's not confusing. So sometimes A says A, and sometimes A says A. And that's just not an issue. And so they can learn those things side by side.
Right.
So you can show them things like at, eight. We put the E on the end, and it changes at to eight. And they can learn it simultaneously. Some kids, that would be right. more than they yeah. could handle, right? So we just have to be really sensitive to their own readiness. So we start with the short vowels, but you can mm-hmm. sort of show them, look, if I put an E on the end of this, it says eight. And they might say, oh, cool, and they've got it. Other kids, it might just come later and they're just overwhelmed by the idea of that. But if we just sort of drip on them, they just get phonics innately in dictation, right? So we just drip on mm-hmm. them in context with the words in front of them, so that language doesn't seem to be a bunch of rules. And I think that makes kids hate language. You know what I mean? These are the rules for this. These are the rules for this. These are the rules for this. That especially something like learning to read. If you think, oh, okay, I'm never going to learn to read if it's a bunch of rules that I have to memorize, as opposed to just this fluid walking through a series of sounds. And oh, there's that one again. And oh, there's that short A sound, that short O sound, with that short U sound. Wow, look at that. Okay. These have different sounds. And you could say, you know, when you're driving in the car, even you can say, do you remember what A says? Ah, 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 cat. And you can say a couple of A words. I'm going to say some A words, cat, bat, sat. And they'll say, ah, A says ah, you know, so there's games we can play them just throughout our day. We don't want to beat them over the head with it, but we can remind them of the things we did in dictation. We just start with the things that look easiest to us, and then we move into the more difficult patterns like O-U-G-H or P-S-Y-C-H or, you know, things like that. But that's going to come much, much later when they're already fluent readers, so that we can say, okay, they're reading fluently. You can say, okay, this is a really hard word in front of us here. This word, say, for example, you have a reader who stumbles over words, just to get most of the words, but they stumble over some. Then you say, okay, look at this. Look at this pattern. This P-S-Y-C-H actually says psych. And there's a few words in the English language that use this pattern. And it says, when you see it, it says psych. So just so you know, and here's a few examples, you know, psychiatric, psychiatrist, psyche. Those are words that use that. Now, when they're 6 or 7 or 8, you're probably, if they chose a passage that had the word psych in it, or, you know, psychiatric, they're probably not going to. But if they did, you just give them the letters. This is a really tough word. I'm just going to give you this one. P-S-Y-C-H. You don't have to explain it. And unless the child says, well, why, right? Why does that have that in it? Well, you could say, oh, well, we could look up the word origin and see what language it comes from and find out where that comes from. But you would not expect them to remember that as an early reader at all, right? What you're going to be working on is the common sounds that are in, you know, 90% of the words we read. I'm just, I wonder if it would be helpful to sort of bring out I don't have any kids' books up here. Do you have any kids' books handy, like sitting by you somewhere? I love that book. I am a bunny. Okay, so just pull a sentence out of that. Just read a sentence out of that.
Okay, how about, I live in a hollow tree.
Okay, so if we have a child that doesn't know how to read and they're just learning their letters and how they're going to get together, we're primarily focusing on letter formation and the sounds of the individual letters. If we have a slightly older reader, we're going to look at that and we're going to say, okay, well, first of all, I live in a hollow tree. So I, and this is always capitalized because it's a proper noun and it's the beginning of a sentence. So we're going to capitalize the I and then live. Now, here's an interesting word. It doesn't follow the rules. So there's two words. It's actually a word, live, L-I-V-E, and live, L-I-V. So say for your son who maybe trips on vowels and whatnot, this would be a great lesson to pull out. So normally we say a word like this spelled like that, we would say it live. So here it is. This is an actual word, live. But we also have this word, live. It's spelled exactly the same way. And you only know if it's live or live in the context of the sentence. So let's say it both ways. I live in a hollow tree. And he's going to giggle. I live in a hollow tree. So we just only know by this sentence which way we pronounce this word, because it's obvious that I live in a hollow tree doesn't make sense. So I live in, you know, how do you say that in? So in is a great one. We could, if you have an early reader, you could pull that out. You could say in. Now in, it sounds, this is the sound these two letters make together, in. But we can also put letters in front of them. You pull it out over on your side of the page. You write in maybe four times and you say, what if I put a B in front? B, in. K, a K, in. S, in. Right? Can you see the pattern there? Oh, yeah. Can you think of any other in words? Great word you could use to sort of pull in phonics. I live in a. They're probably going to know that, a hollow tree. But again, a is one of those words. Sometimes we say a, and it usually depends on our accent, right? So if somebody didn't know, say somebody was reading to them and they said, I live in a hollow tree. And the child might think, what do you mean I live in a hollow tree? But it's just a point of discussion. And then hollow, okay, look at this. Look at this hollow tree. So we have the O says ah, an O, short O sound. That would be because there's these two L's following it, right? Hollow. And you could talk about the OW too. This OW sometimes says ow and sometimes says O. In this case, it says O. And we know in this word as we're reading it, because in context, we live in a hollow tree. It's not a hollow tree because they probably are already familiar with the word, right? And you might want to do some comparisons. So can you think of any words that end in OW that say ow? So now, sow, cow, bow. Okay, that's cool. And here's some that end in O, right? Hollow, swallow,
yeah.
Follow is just a point of discussion. So everything just becomes this point of discussion about the patterns that we're seeing in front of us, right? So the very fact that you know how to read is going to be the best thing you can do. And one of those things that sort of the shedding off of thinking of phonics as a series of rules is probably going to really help you. Phonics is helping you understand the sound of what you see and the patterns and how we can compare one pattern to another in order to understand how the ow sound is made in maybe three different ways. O-U-G-H, O-W. What is else? There's another ow sound, isn't there? We just have to show them the patterns, repeat it over and over again. And that's the advantage of dictation, is you're drip, drip, dripping on them all the time. And you're having opportunities to show those patterns every single day. You know, in your son's case, he is stumbling on words, but he's done most of the decoding. There's just the odd thing. Sounds to me like there's just the odd thing you just need to pull out and focus on. I would just make a point of that. And I would make a point of getting him to to be really aware of it before he actually writes it down. Is this making sense to you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
What about the odd word, like we were reading in our science book today, variable, right? So the IA is IA, which does that follow any, is that the only kind of word like that, that the IA makes an IA sound? My brain.
Sorry, what was the word again?
Variable, right?
Variable. No, I don't think so. I think it's often when you change the ending, like vary to variable.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing to learn as they get older. That you can put prefixes and suffixes on words, and that can change not only the spelling, but the actual spelling rules or the sound of the word. Yeah. So we could take some words. We could say, okay, well, look at pliable and reliable.
Right.
You know, those are just words that have the same I-A-B-L-E ending, have a different sound. And so I'm just trying to think of any others, variable. None of them pop into my mind at the moment, but I'm sure there is some. And again, we can just say, usually it's I-able when we see I-A-B-L-E. This one, we put this new ending on and we keep it at variable. It's just something we have to remember, but it's easy to remember because the word doesn't change. Variable. Right. Just helping them to discern those patterns as they come up in context, right? And I mean, a great way to do that too. So here you're learning all these things in dictation, but then what a great thing to do in the middle of your science. Mm-hmm. You're doing a language lesson, right? Oh, variable. Look at that. Usually this would say I-able. But in this word, we say variable.
Right.
Right. And just, you don't have to say anything more than notice it. Phonics, in a sense, is just so much about noticing what's in front of you, right? To help them decode. And so you're walking beside them in the noticing. Okay. Before this gets published, I want to do a little dictation lesson with my grandson, and we'll pull out some. Right. Phonics, it'll be obvious because he's a pre-reader, so it will be obvious how phonics is sort of in that lesson. So I think that'd be really helpful. So I'll make a blog post that goes along with this and put the dictation lesson in it so that we can, you know, the two can be used back and forth sort of thing. So I hope that helps to make phonics a little more clear for both you and other listeners. Okay, so should we wrap up there? Or is there anything else that you wanted to? Okay. I just want to remind people to subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a review if you can. That would be lovely. When the more reviews we have, whether it's just a star or if it's an actual word review, it makes us easier to find. So I think it's really, really been awesome for all those people who've left us amazing reviews. Thank you so much for that. It just makes us easier to find, more obvious if somebody's searching homeschooling or language or whatever aspect of homeschooling we're discussing. We just sort of rise to the top of the list with our reviews. So thank you, all of those who've left reviews. So God bless and have a great week.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.